Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
High God, amen. I tell you, our God, he is worthy. He most certainly is worthy of the glory, of all the honor, and he's certainly worthy of our praise, amen. I don't know about you, but who wouldn't serve a God like our God? A God that's faithful, a God that's faithful, a God that's loving, a God that's kind, a God that's gracious, and a God that's merciful unto us. He's a great God. 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 It has to be right. Okay. Thank God for his spirit. I'm going to take that as a sign. That's his spirit. Water symbolic of the spirit, so I'm gonna thank you, Jesus, for your spirit, because God knows we need a spirit in this place. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but out of the Trinity, he's the forgotten one that we tend to forget to talk about, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you know anything about God, that's the God presence that's dwelling with us in the earth realm right now. It is the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to take that as a sign. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Most High God. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. When you have it, say amen. Father, we thank you that you are preparing our ears, digging out our ears, God, that we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto us. Speak unto us even now, God. Prepare our minds, God. Prepare our hearts, God, to hear and receive what you will reveal through your word, God. We invite your spirit into this place even now, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, to make your word easy, God, to receive, Father. We thank you right now, God, that you give us proper interpretation, Father God, as you reveal, Father God, things in your word. And we thank you that by your spirit, God, it will make it simple, God, simple to make application of it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. Amen. And the word of our God reads, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Give me verse number 10. You got verse number 10? Verse number 10 says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. You could be seated in the presence of our living God. Amen. As you're grabbing your seat, the title that we're going to be working with today is called Live Out Loud. Live Out Loud. Live out loud. Live out loud. Amen. And as we're wrapping up this current sermon series, Finding Your Place in the Hood, we talked about a lot of different types of hoods. You know, last week, Pastor Ivan talked about selfhood, finding your identity. First and foremost, finding your identity in God, and then finding your identity within the body, as a member of the body. We've talked about parenthood, marriagehood, childhood, all these different particular hoods that we've talked about. Lord, I'm going to take that as a sign. That's a witness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for your spirit. For your spirit. Don't move the podium anymore because you'll spill Jesus. Spill the Holy Spirit. Don't spill the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So all these different hoods that we talked about. And question, I want to know, have you found your place in the particular hoods that we've talked about? Yes. Right? That's a weak yes. Yes. Right? Yes. You found your place in the hood? Childhood, children, you found your place? Those of us that are parents, you found your place in parenthood? Those of us that are married, you found your place in marriagehood? Right? You found your identity according to selfhood? Still finding it? What about servanthood? Because this is what your heart needs. Oh, that was that cuss word right there. Servanthood. Give me a title. I don't want to serve, though. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about live out loud in the hood that we're talking about today. It is called priesthood. 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 We'll be talking about finding your place in priesthood. Amen. All right. So let's just recap. We start dealing with these particular hoods because we understand that God has given each one of us a place to occupy. God has given each one of us a place to occupy. Right? And in that place is where we're supposed to release the significance that is housed inside of our voices. In order for that place to become a blessed place, you must speak and declare inside of that place that God has called you to occupy, that as God has called you to dwell in, that God has called you to reign in. There are certain spheres that God has called us to reign in, whether you're in business, whether you're in the academic, whether you're inside the ministry, inside your home, whatever the case may be, God has given each one of us a place to occupy. And in that place, we all must release the significance that is housed inside of our voices. Case in point, we understand in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 8, the Bible declares what? And the Lord God planted a garden east within Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. We understand put in the Hebrew talks about God placed, God put the man there. He placed him inside a specific place that God had given him, right? So we understand Adam was never alone because God was there with him. He was alone in the sense that he did not have his own kind, right? But he was never alone because God was there. I hate to tell you, Vicky Wine has lied to y'all. She said, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. That was a lie. That was a lie. That song she wrote was a lie. Even God understood, no, you need somebody, Adam. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need. The devil is a lie. I need somebody. Oh, yes, I need somebody. And so do you. Right? So he's given Adam this place to occupy and to speak and release the significance of his voice in this place. So we understand because Adam began to speak into this place became more blessed than it already was. Now we know and understand that it was already a blessed place because the voice of God dwelt in this place. The voice of God was already speaking in this place. Right? But how many know God has given us the ability to speak? Right? Because if we're the image bearers of God, if we're made in his image, we're somewhat like God. Right? Just a little lower than God. The Bible talks about how, you know, the angels that were angels in the Hebrews defined as God. Right? So we were made a little lower than God. Right? So we were created in the image of God. The authority that God has given us comes by way of us speaking. When we speak, We have the ability to change things. We have the ability to change and shift atmospheres according to what we speak. Amen. Right? So we see God gave the Garden of Eden this place that is defined as pleasure. Place man inside of it. Adam began to speak. God spoke. It was a blessed place. Right? And so when we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 10, we see the Bible declares there are, it may be so many kinds of forces in the world, and none of them is without signification. Many times we're guilty, parents. We take our children's voice. We take the signification, the influence, the authority, the power that God has given them. We take it from them. You know how you be telling them, shut up. Be quiet. Right? Because you're the adult, right? Because I'm the mama. Because I'm the daddy. Right? Now, we understand there was a time and there was a place for children to be seen and be heard. But we cannot be consistently taking the signification from them, the authority or the influence that God has given them. Maybe your atmosphere or the place that God has given y'all to occupy as a family is not as blessed because you keep shushing them. You keep telling them to be quiet. You keep telling them to shut up. But listen, you need their voice. Because truth be told, some of the children are more pure than us adults. And because they are pure as they are, their praise goes a whole lot deeper, a whole lot higher than yours some days. It's in their sincerity. Because they're sincere about God, right? Especially when they're real little. I remember the scripture. The scripture talks about how when the people begin to bring the children to Jesus, the disciples got mad and they begin to rebuke him. He said, suffer not, let them come unto me. Because if you don't come to me like these little children, you can't enter into the kingdom. Amen. If you don't come like these children, you cannot enter into the kingdom. That's the word. Master, we're talking about priesthood. I want you to find your place in priesthood. And when you find your place, I want you, we need you. As we're closing out the sermon, sir, we need you to release the significance that is in your voice. Doesn't matter how old you are. We're telling you, you should live out loud. What is living out loud? Being who God has called you to be at all times. Doesn't matter when my friends come around, when my peers come around, I'm still going to be who God called me to be. It doesn't matter when things are not going my way. I'm still going to be who God called me to be. It doesn't matter that some people reject me, some people dislike me, and only a couple people like me. I'm still going to be who God has called me to be. Even when I don't understand, I'm still going to be who God called me to be. I'm living out loud. What about you? What about you? I know some of you are not interested in living out loud. Because based upon the definition we just gave, living out loud is being who God called you to be at all times. Everybody's not interested in living out loud. But you may be interested in living your best life. Oh yeah, I'm going to jump on that. You may be very interested in living out your best life. In other words, when things are going good, you happy, go lucky, got a little joy right down in your heart, you living your best life. Right. Like every prayer you prayed is getting answered. God is doing exactly what you want. It's almost like he's the genie. He's doing everything you want. So you living your best life. Got your promotion, on the honor roll, got the man you want, got the woman you looking for, everything is all right. Your hair is done, your nails done, your feet done, oh, everything is all right. You got the new shoes you wanted, you know, because school is getting ready to start back. You know, you had to cut a fool a little bit in the store, but you got the shoes you wanted. You understand what I'm saying? See, they know what I'm talking about. You understand exactly what I'm saying. You acted up a little bit. You put some frowns on your face. You understand? You pouted a little bit. You walked around the store with your arms folded, but you got what you wanted. You living your best life. Because you know you about to be killing the game, right? You about to walk up in school smooth. You about to be catching eyes and making heads turn. That's Florida terms right there. You about to be catching eyes and making heads turn, right? It's about to be all about you. Living your best life. Now, your mom and them, your daddy, then they spent all this money. You better not come with no C's. That a priest right there. Oh, yeah. You better not come with no C's. Any C's. We gracing you to have a B. Because the truth be told, you are better than a B.
Right.
You just capital L-A-Z-Y. Oh, you better than a B. You just lazy.
Right.
Oh. But you living your best life. When you get all dolled up, all dressed up, we can't tell you nothing. You notice they're not lazy when they get to put on new stuff.
Right.
You ain't got no trouble waking them up for school. It's the first day. Oh, I'm ready, mama. What?
Right.
But after your new clothes run out, all of a sudden you revert back to this lazy mindset. I'm just telling you what I used to do. No problem getting up. When you had that new, no problem. Once that new became somewhat old, what time is it? Or you had issues getting up. You reverted back to being lazy. I don't know why we're going this route. We're talking about priesthood, living out loud, Jesus. Amen. So we're in the book of 1 Peter. Peter, the Apostle Peter, the Rough Rider. Oh, yes, the Rough Rider. Some of y'all know you could relate to him because you're a rough rider. You're a little rough around the edges. Say, love Jesus, but you're a little rough around the edges. Oh, yes. Peter had an attitude. Peter had an attitude. Oh, but when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he had an attitude adjustment. Yeah, he had an attitude adjustment. He began to be bold and speak boldly against sin. So we understand in chapter number 1, he's telling us, you got to be holy. Because the Lord declares that he is holy. And as he is holy, you must live holy.
Amen.
You must live a sanctified life, a set apart life, is what he's saying. Got quiet right there. It's already been quiet, but I mean, got real quiet right there. Yeah, you hear them things on that cotton. You can hear those things on that cotton. Dancing on cotton. On cotton. Amen. Is that quiet? Is that quiet, right? Is that quiet? Is that quiet, right? Talking about this priesthood, but he got an adjustment. His attitude became adjusted when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Because know that he was a rough rider. He didn't mind getting dirty with folk. He didn't mind putting them hands up. Yeah, you can get it. I know that means something else.
That's all right. We know what you mean.
Ooh, some folk knew what I was talking about when I said, oh, yeah, you can get it. Lord have mercy, Leah. Stop laughing. You're making me laugh up here. You can get it. Oh, yeah. Y'all know what that, y'all know. Some of y'all, oh, listen, you can get it. You can get it. Oh, my God, you can get it. But I want to know, can Jesus get your heart? Can Jesus get your praise? Can Jesus get your worship? You see how easy we are to just
You can get it. Oh my God, you can get it. But can Jesus get it that easy? I want to. Can he? Because we're supposed to be living out loud. Can he? I like that. Can he? Can he? Can he? Can he? Can he? Yes. And we move over to chapter number 2. He starts talking about how you got to grow up. Yeah, we know you 20 plus 5, but you still a babe. 30 plus 2, but you still a babe. No, you got to grow up. As a believer, you must grow up. You should be ever learning about the things of God, about the persons of God. Since you woke. Because you woke, right? That's the new term, right? We're woke. Stay woke. Stay woke. I'm just trying to figure out, what are you woke to? My Bible tells me there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. What are you woke to? When you think about all of the things that we are studying or trying to come into the knowledge of, some of us are just nosy. Let's just call it what it is. It's just nosy. The truth be told, I thank God for those of you that are nosy. I got to have at least one nosy neighbor. me and Mike agree. I got to have at least one nosy neighbor. You're the reason why we have a crime watch in the development. Oh, yes, I thank God for you. You're going to make sure nothing happens to none of our houses. Thank you, Jesus. For you. Thank you for you. For you. So we find ourselves here in chapter number 2. The Rough Rider. He's speaking to a combination of Jewish Christians as well as Gentiles. He's speaking to the church people. Just like you and I. Church people. Right? He starts telling them how, okay, as newborn babes desire to speak of the word, that they grow by this. You got to grow by the word, right? He said, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and we've all tasted that God is gracious. Good. Right? You've tasted that God is gracious. You coming up with a song, man of God?
Yeah.
Okay, amen. Do it, Jesus. He's gracious. I don't know about you, but when I just think about the grace that I've experienced from God, I bless his wonderful name. I bless his wonderful name. For example, you know, last week I was away. We was back home in Florida because we was attending one of my uncle's funeral. And it wasn't anything sad about it because my uncle lived the saved life before the Lord. You know? But I'm so glad that I'm still experiencing his grace. I'm still in the land of the living. To see all the different people, or all the different lives that my uncle touched, I said, wow, God. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I did not think that many people was going to show up. Because he was mean. So I thought. The reality, what I thought was mean was actually love. It was a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of love. That, take them earrings out your ear, boy. Leave me alone. Why are you always messing with us? Don't wear your hair like that. Oh my God. Can you go find somebody else to harass? My God. What you got a tattoo for? Why are you marking up your body? Are you going to go back to school? Oh my God. Do you know somebody and can you relate? God has placed someone that is consistent in your life to push buttons you do not want to be pushed, to hit areas or pull back covers off of areas you do not want to be exposed. You think they're mean, you just misinterpret. This is love. God is using them to be hard. Because guess what? You're going to have to toughen up. In other words, what I'm saying, what I thought was them just being mean, I now understand very clearly it was love. So now what I say about my uncle is he helped shape my life. All right. He helped shape my life. And I'm grateful that God allowed him to keep on. Because with all of the complaining and all of the pushback and all of the disrespect. Right. Yes, I straight up disrespected him. Man, leave me alone. You know, because he's Jamaican. They don't know any better. He go and pick up the first thing he see. I boss you. So I had no choice but to be fast. You know what I mean? I run him and the object in his hand. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, so children, you got it good. Right. Because the Jamaican in me, I have not just picked up the first thing that I've saw. Right. Y'all know that's, hey, the first thing they see, it becomes their rod. I'm just saying. But with all of the pushback and the disrespect, he never let up. And I'm so grateful he never let up. And even in his old age, I'm grateful to hear my uncle tell me, say, nephew, I'm proud of you.
Amen. All right.
He said, I'm proud of you because you preach God's word. He said, all I wanted for you was just to be who God called you to be. Amen. And I'm so glad that I was able to tell him, Unc, I never appreciated it at the time, but I have a good understanding of why you did what you did. And I'm so grateful that you rebuked me, you corrected me, you jacked me up. I'm so grateful because you helped shape my life. He said, nephew, I'm so proud of you, how you take care of your family. And he's not talking about the money. He's saying, as a man of God, you pray with your family. You teach them the word of God. You let them know it is about God. Him crucified and resurrected. I can't tell you what that really did for me at the moment. Other than it just blessed my life. It solidified some things in me that God placed him in my life to help shape my life. I promise we're going to get there, right? Go to 3. He says what? To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Talking about Jesus Christ as the living stone who's rejected by his own people. And then the Bible tells us what in verse number 5, that we're something like Christ. We are lively stones just like him. All right. And remember, we talked about, remember when David, when he was getting ready to battle Goliath, how the Bible talks about how he picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook. Smooth because there was a consistent washing of water over them. Amen. And like we said, Peter, rough rider, some of us we can relate to because some of us are still rough around the edges. Yes. But you need to get on a consistent flow of the Spirit of God, a consistent flow of the Word of God, so the Word and the Spirit of God can smooth out your rough areas. Right. Oh, yes. Say, but you still got an attitude. Save, but you still disrespectful. Save, you misinterpret things. You understand what I'm saying? And you just going to do what you want to do at times. We haven't found a chord yet, man of God. What are you in? G, E, F? I don't know. We got to find a chord. Because we talking right. We talking right. We just haven't found that chord that's going to move them yet. We're talking right. Oh yeah. Live out loud. Oh, but don't get mad. Watch how loud you start living when you get upset. As a believer, cussing, as a believer, God, I repent. I repent, God, for what I'm about to cuss them out, God. I repent. Just saying. It's the truth. Living out loud when we mad, though. Don't let a man be sexually frustrated. Look how loud he starts living. We can't get him to give no praise to God inside the church. He real quiet in church. But because he backed up, oh, he got us something to say. We can't get him to shut up at home. Have you ever looked at it like this, Ed? Have you ever thought maybe God is backed up because you're holding your praise? Maybe God is backed up because you're not releasing. We don't want to talk about that. We're going to get to the priesthood, but I'm just challenging you right now. I'm just challenging you right now. That's all.
That's good.
What if God could be backed up? Because we fail to praise God on a regular basis. We fail to worship God on a regular basis. I wonder, because you understand Jesus, he didn't have a problem turning over table. I wonder if Jesus turned stuff over in heaven. They will not praise me. I wonder if Jesus kicking crowns, the 24 crowns that the elders are laying down. Crown out of here. No crown. Y'all. Maybe that's why God been doing all that thundering. I don't know. The Bible does declare that he speaks in thunders and lightnings.
All right.
Maybe. You know how the preacher is like, I can't get no help in here. Right, you know how the preachers be doing that? Who knows, God may be in heaven saying, I can't get no praise up here. I don't know, I'm just saying. Could it be? Just challenging you right now. We are like stones. We're built up a spiritual house. We're building God a spiritual house, or God is using us to build the spiritual house, the body of Christ. The church. Give me 6. He says, what? Well, for also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The chief cornerstone is that of Jesus Christ. And when you understand how they built, they took the largest stone that had the straightest lines, and this became the cornerstone, the foundation of the building, because this particular stone was going to determine how high we can build. The cornerstone, which is Christ. He's precious, but he's been rejected. In verse 7, he says, well, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Those that rejected him, because remember, the Bible lets us know that his own, they rejected him. But in them rejecting him, it pushed him to the forefront. God is calling him to be the head of the corner. In verse 8, he says, why? And a stone of stumbling. So for those that have rejected him, he becomes a stumbling block for them. And a rock of offense. So you understand why many people are offended when we talk about Jesus. Because of the rejection of him, they stumble or they are offended because of him. He says, even to them which stumble at the word. Again, he's the word. Amen. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So for those of us who struggle with disobedience, there are times that Jesus is a stumbling block for you. And there are times that he's a rock of offense for you. Right? This is the thing, though. When most of us hit rock bottom, you should hit or fall on the rock of ages. Amen. Just trying to get you to look at things a different way, right? We're getting there, right? I wasn't ready, right? We're getting there. Said, being disobedient, weren't also they were appointed. So there are some who've been appointed to simply disobey. Am I not in the book? There are some, the rough rider, Apostle Peter, is talking to the church. There are some who have been appointed to disobey. I want to know, where do you stand? Who's on the Lord's side? See, real church folk know that right there. That's that old school song right there. That's Reverend Timothy Wright right there. I want to know, where do you stand? Are you the disobedient or are you the obedient ones? Because he tells us in verse number 9 what he says. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is where we take the title of our text, Live Out Loud. But ye, just the word ye. The rough rider, the Apostle Peter, is given a distinction between those who do not believe in comparison to those who do believe. For those that believe, you are the chosen generation. For those of you that believe right now, even though your car, you understand, you got some issues with your car, even though your bank account is not what you want it to be, even though your children act up a little bit, even though your marriage is broken a little bit, even though the chosen generation are those that believe. Where do you find yourself? Because we're talking about the priesthood, right? He said, you are a chosen generation. And in the Greek, chosen is simply talking about you have been picked out by God. Yeah, I'm talking to you. The one who's accustomed to being rejected and overlooked. Picked last. Or you're always second. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know. Pastor Terrence said, y'all some beautiful people. Man of God, you can't walk that back. No, you are beautiful people. But when you get out of character, you're not so beautiful. When you are not being who God called you to be, you're not so beautiful. Me included. For example, when you talk about someone who's a smart aleck, you're not beautiful. Because you think you know it all. and you refuse to hear wisdom or refuse to hear counsel, and you find yourself keep making the same mistakes. But yet, let you tell it, you know it all. You're the smartest one in the room. What a deception. No, you may be the smartest in that particular area. But truth be told, all we got to go and do and pray, and God could anoint us to do the same thing you're doing. For example, I can hold a note, but the longer I've been getting up here trying to sing, guess what? I might bust out a lead a song on y'all. You keep playing. Keep on playing. Because I ain't scared. Now, when I was a background singer, I was scared. I stayed in my lane. And see, now that God has got people keep pushing me out there, sing some Pastor Lee, sing Pastor Lee, you know, they be trying to trick me. It's not my appointed time yet. Oh, because I do know I'm going to sing and prophesy at the same time. I hear the Lord say, that's it, Mike.
That's it, Mike. That's it, Mike.
That was, boy, Mike, you, Mike, God is doing something in you. Boy, you right on cue today. Jesus. But ye are a chosen generation. Chosen generation. Certain people that have been handpicked by God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have been handpicked by God. As great as the enemy's desire is for you, God chose you. Do you understand? As great as the enemy's desire is for you, it's like this. Look at it like this. We just told you in this scripture prior to. There were some that are appointed for disobedience. It's almost giving you the image like God and the enemy is picking. I have it on my team. You understand? Yeah. See, the enemy, he went and got somebody like Michael Jackson because he could do all of that. But God chose you with your uncoordinated self. On the one and the three, just. No, God said, give me that. I want the uncoordinated one. Oh, yes, give me that one. The enemy chose Mary J. Give me Mary Jane and our girl Lauren. If it's most of y'all, my wife's favorite, Janet. You understand? But he chose people like Renisha who's still struggling whether or not can she sing. God said, no, give me that one right there. Give me that one right there. One who's still struggling with her voice. The one who's still struggling with her voice. Some days she believes she's too high. Some days she feels like she's too low. But you feel like I can't lead. I'm a mess. I'm too much of a mess to lead. But God said, no, I chose you. Now, before MC Hammer got saved, we would consider him one of the, aside from Michael. Obviously, I was a Michael. He can't outdance Michael. But we understand MC Hammer was someone that could dance before he got saved, right? But again, God chose, you know, for those of y'all that be up here dancing, just. Right. Crystal. He chose Crystal. I said, give me Crystal. You gotta bless God. This is the thing. What am I saying? Because let's be real. At one point, You were actually on the enemy's team.
Right.
At one point, you were actually on the enemy's team. But the enemy felt like you were not producing in the manner that he wanted you to produce. I was like, I'll take them. I want them on my team. I want all the rejects. I want all the rejects. I want all the uncoordinated people. I want the fearful people. Give me those right there. And watch what I do with them. Now look at Bernicia. She get up here and lead songs. In my place of brokenness. You know, she holds her hand like this. I don't know what this be doing, but I'm able to see you for who you are.
Not the lady.
Right? Then you have somebody like a Crystal who would get up here and dance and just the interpretive movement. We interpret what God is saying through movement. Like, I bless your name. When they do things like, that meant name, y'all. No, I've seen y'all do that in one dance. It's never left my mind. Yeah. You know, give him the glory. You know, certain things y'all be. Ouch. But I'm going to keep on going. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. He still chose you. Right? He said you are a royal priesthood. Meaning you are a collection of priests, not in the sense that you're going to get up and do what I'm doing, but you are a royal priesthood, meaning you belong to the King of Kings. Priests who belong to the King of Kings. Now, the interesting thing about priests in the Hebrew is that priests is defined as they, it says what? They reveal the heart of the yes. We are a royal priesthood. We belong to the King of Kings. We reveal the heart of the yes. The yes are, or the yes is the ways of God. So when we're talking about live out loud as priests, what message is your life declaring? Because see, you don't have to get up and grab a microphone. What message is your life declaring? Priest, you're supposed to reveal the heart of the yes. What is your life declaring about him? Or is your life even declaring anything about him? Because to live out loud is to be who God has called me to be at all times, no matter what. It doesn't matter what company is around me. I don't change who God has called me to be. See, we understand we got some chameleons in the place. I'm going to be this particular person with this particular people. In other words, I'm one person with my family. I'm one person with the church people. I'm one person with my associates at work. Now you wonder why you're not stable. Because the Bible declares that a double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. And the fact that you're trying to live out three different lives or have three different personalities denotes you are unstable in all your ways. That's why your money not stable. No relationship you got stable. You can't halfway get dressed stable. You are a royal priesthood. You should be revealing the heart of the yes. When people read your life's message, does it make them want to say yes to Jesus? Or is your life turning people off to Jesus? Because if you never say a word, your body language is already spoken. Your life is already spoken. If all people see is you got wandering eyes, lust of the eyes, do you think that's making somebody want to say yes to Jesus? If they see you have no discipline in your life, you think that makes them want to say yes to Jesus? If all you are, people interpret you or perceive you to be an angry individual, you think that makes them want to say yes to Jesus? Because if you're angry, there is an absence of joy. You who claim to be Christian but have no joy. Lord, have mercy. The master did what you're so mad for. What are you angry about? Do you even know what you're even angry about? I've been there where I was angry and I had no clue what I was angry about until God revealed it to me. Some of you just angry and don't even understand why you're angry. I'm not minimizing it, because there's something that you need to deal with. But how can you deal with it if you don't know the root of it, the source of it? That's why you find yourself constantly just lashing out on other people. Because you're making them seem to be the source. They're not the source of your anger. And because you can't find the source of your anger, it just becomes easy to take it out on them. I'll tell somebody, you owe somebody an apology.
You owe somebody an apology.
Yes, you owe somebody an apology. More than one individual, you owe them an apology. And some of you already know you need to apologize. Not because I'm saying it, you already know you need to apologize because you know your behavior was wrong. I get it though, because the point where you be so tired of being angry, you just want to feel better. And when you go off on somebody, it makes you feel, for the moment, it makes you feel good.
Right.
But then if you really be real, after that moment passed and you're left dealing with what you had to deal with, the fact that you're wrong for taking your frustration, your anger out on them, it's like you just doubled your disappointment. I mean, who wants to live like that? Keep burying themselves under your disappointment. Keep burying yourselves under anger that you can never deal with because you won't find the source. Or let God deal with you about the source, the origin of what you're actually angry about. You're not revealing the heart of the yes. Priests were leaders who led in sacrificing unto God. How are you leading if you're part of the royal priesthood? How are you leading? As if you're even leading. Right. Won't lead. Why? So are you telling me you won't lead because you are appointed as one of the disobedient ones? We need to figure out why you're not leading. I don't want to hear no, because I don't want to. It's much bigger than because you don't want to. You're not doing it because you've been appointed as one of the disobedient ones then. He said, not only are you a royal priest, he said you are a holy nation, a people that has been set apart. Called to live separate lives from everybody else in the world. And I know it pains you because you don't want to be different. I don't want to be different. I just want to fit in. He didn't call you to fit in. I don't want nobody to think I'm weird. You're weird. Just embrace it. You might as well go ahead and embrace it. You're weird. I mean, sometimes we just got to deal with the truth. The truth be told, some of y'all, you're clumsy.
All right.
You just got to go ahead and embrace that. See, some of us can't live out loud because you're afraid to embrace the truth that you know about yourself.
All right.
And it's not that you're unaware. Because guess what? The people that you deal with, they keep it before you. They keep you mindful of the things that you deal with. It's not the truth. Some of us say, but you still struggle with lying. And until you're willing to come and face that truth, then guess what? You're going to still be bound by a lying spirit. Say, but just a lying believer. He's called you to live separate, a separate life, a sanctified life, a holy lifestyle. But don't preach holiness no more. Because everything now is about trying to get as many people, but nobody's delivered. Nobody's saved for real. Folks can come to church, get a massage. There's nobody giving messages anymore. They want to massage you and they let you go on home. No, we need real preachers who are going to stand up and preach the truth of God. Who will not shy away from the fact that if you decide not to give any money, it's still all right. It will not change the fact that he called you to be holy. But nowadays, you got a bunch of punks in the pulpit. That's the easiest way to say it. Got punks in the pulpit. Scared to declare truth. But one thing God is not, you won't ever have to worry about me declaring your truth, God. Whether the people like me or not. Because you know what I found out a long time? This is not a popularity contest. This is about obedience. Did you hear what I say? This is about your obedience. He said, a holy nation and a peculiar people. A special people. He looks at us as jewels in the Hebraic terms. Peculiar is talking about, okay, or even in the Greek, I should say. In the Greek, it's talking about a special people or jewels. But I like this one. A purchased people. Oh, see, I'm going to remind you, have been bought with a price. You no longer belong to yourself. You wonder why you can't do what you want to do because you don't belong to yourself. You do not belong to you anymore. It doesn't matter whether or not you call it walking around here saying Jesus is Lord. He died for the sins of the world. You do not belong to you anymore. He says what? That you should show forth the praises of him. This is where we're talking about this living out loud. What message is your life declaring? Amongst the crowds that you go in and out of, amongst the different atmospheres that you visit, what message is your life declaring? Because he's saying the message that your life should be, it should be declaring forth the praises of God. For example, I don't have to walk. I give an example. It could be because one person, it's not my doing. But everybody at my children's school know I'm a pastor. Not because I went in there declaring, hey, y'all, I'm a pastor. Because when I introduced myself, I never introduced myself as Pastor Lincoln. I always say, hey, how you doing? I'm Lincoln. In church, outside of church. I begin rebuke because I don't say Pastor Lincoln. I'm Lincoln. I understand who I am, spiritually and naturally. I understand that very clearly. But my life says something that people know that there is a difference about me. Without me having to go in and declare, I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, they know that there is something different about me. Because my life speaks a message that I'm living out loud. I'm not ashamed of him. Because I don't want him to be ashamed of me in front of his father. What is your life declaring about you? Because I've been there when we've been walking with apostles, different countries, all of this stuff. So the folk don't know us from another flea on a dog. They don't know us. But they will point. They will point at him, he, holy man. At what point at the apostle, he holy man. He no holy. They weren't talking about me though. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Over in Cuba, he holy man. Him no holy man. They don't know them. But the lifestyle said something over in a different country. Over in Africa. They knew something was different, not because I had no church music playing, not because nobody heard me praying, me and my wife. They knew there was something different. What does your life declare? Because you're supposed to be the royal priesthood. And you're supposed to find your place inside of the priesthood and release the significance, the influence, the authority that is found in your voice. Why are you ashamed to let your peers know that you're a believer? I'm about to come wake them children up. They don't even have a clue. I'm about to come wake them up. Oh, yes, about to come wake them up because y'all playing with the word. Because I'm talking to y'all children right now. Why are you ashamed to let people know that you're saved? If you're not saved, say, I'm not saved. But don't play this game like you're saved. And you know you're not saved. Or play this game when you're around church folk and your mama and you want to act like you're saved. But as soon as you get to school, you go to cussing, thinking about who you want to kiss, thinking about who you want to let grab your tail, touch your breath, all this stuff right here. Thinking about who you want to be, your little boyfriend, your little girlfriend, all of this stuff right here. But as soon as you get to church, you want to play like you say. You're not even doing a good job of playing that you say. Because we got to tell you to pray. We got to tell you to praise. We got to tell you to lift your hand. We got to tell you to give your tithe to God. Are you even saved? Or do your friends, the acceptance, the approval of your friends matter more than the salvation of your soul? Because let me tell you something, your boyfriend can't save you, your girlfriend can't save you, your mother can't save you, your daddy can't save you, I can't save you. The only one. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness, who called you out of ignorance and sin. He's saying to the know-it-all, you don't realize how ignorant you are. Yeah, I said ignorant. To the know-it-all. The person that believes they're the smartest one in the room, you don't realize how ignorant you are. He said, no, I called you out of darkness. I called you out of a place of ignorance, and I called you out of sin. Into my wonderful light, I brought you into a place of recognition. I brought you into a place of enlightenment. I brought you into a place of understanding. I brought you into a place of approval and acceptance. I brought you into a place where you are loved for who you are, not because of what you can do. Some of us are still doing things to win the approval, the favor of other people. He said, be who you are. But in you being who you are, be born again, though. Say it again. Be who you are, but in being who you are, be born again. I don't understand why he did what no other could do for you. But yet, we will withhold our praise from God. Because everything is not what we want it to be in our lives. So what? You got a little pain. They don't like that. So what? You got a little pain in your life. Guess what? He's using that pain for his purpose. I'm gonna ask y'all this question. What do you want from God? What are you looking for? What do you expect out of this life? Some of y'all got the impression because you on the side of light now, because you walking with Jesus, that all your problems are supposed to stop. What a deception. You're supposed to have no more pain, no more rejection. What a deception. If they rejected him, what you think they're going to do to you? If they talked about him, what do you think they're going to do to you? If they lied on him, what do you think they're going to do to you? If they persecuted him, what do you think they're going to do to you? And you know what I found out? People gonna lie on you whether you saved or unsaved. People are gonna reject you whether you're saved or unsaved. People are gonna persecute you whether you're saved or unsaved. I'd just rather go through all of this walking with Jesus. Because see, I've been there when I've experienced all of that when I wasn't saved and I couldn't help myself. Oh, see, that'll preach right there. I'm talking about when I couldn't help myself. But thank God he sent the helper. I said he sent the helper to help me. He sent the helper to help you. That's why I say, who wouldn't serve a God like this? That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness. I guess y'all still in the dark. I guess you still in the dark. Because if you were in the light, because we praise God for what he has done. And if he has brought you out of darkness, meaning he has done something for you. You got a reason to give him the praise. But I guess y'all still in the door because y'all got the mute mouth. You acting like you ain't got no reason to give God praise simply because he brought you out of darkness. You don't need no other reason to give him praise. The fact that he brought you out of darkness. But you want him to give you this huge promotion. You want him to drop $50,000 out the sky in your lap for you to give him a praise. What a deception. You understand why the church is in trouble? Because this is not a good enough reason to give you praise. You don't see this as a good enough reason to just be running all around this place. Because when you tell the truth, you tried so many times to change and you couldn't change. You tried so many times to stop and could not stop. But it took the power of the Holy Spirit. It took the power of the Word of God to change you, to deliver you, to set you free. If it had not been. You understand why the church is still in trouble? Because we still got to pump and prime you to give him praise. You don't recognize that was a praising moment because he brought me out of darkness. This ain't got nothing to do with no car. This ain't got nothing to do with having no millions of dollars. The fact that he brought me out of darkness. Because money can't buy peace. Money can't buy joy. Money sure can't buy love. And the last time I checked, money can't buy your deliverance. But he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous, his wonderful life. But that, I bless your name, Jesus. See, he told you, the rough rider, Apostle Peter told you, you got to grow up. We should have to tell you of that fine. This is a moment to give God praise. When you read the scripture, because guess what? You understand he brought you out of darkness. We should have to keep reminding you. Listen, he brought you out of darkness. You ought to show up to pray because he brought you out of darkness. See, this is why the church is in trouble. We see we got some babes leading churches. Babes leading churches. Babes in leadership roles. This is why the church is in trouble. Babes trying to teach babes. Babes trying to preach to other babes. Babes trying to prophesy to other babes. When you don't even recognize a praising moment. Lord, you got to help us. You have got to help your people, God. I hate to see what happened when a real trial comes your way. We know you ain't got no praise. Nothing but a mouth full of complaints. Nothing but a struggle in your mouth of whether or not you want to walk home with Jesus. Struggling whether or not you want to still give God the praise. Struggling whether or not you still want to do his will. When a real trial comes. Church is in trouble. And I'm not talking about this church in particular. The church as a whole is in trouble. When you think about all the different things that are breaking forth in the culture, stuff is not even subtle anymore. It's just putting it out there, making it plain for you. You ain't even got to wonder how we feel about you. But yet you won't give God praise? If the culture is going to change, it is going to be by the church. But it appears you have adults in the world and babes in the church. Because culturally right now, it's like the world, the secular world is driving our nation. but not a nation under God. We've come so far from underneath God to now they're struggling with whether or not they want to take that out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Supposed to be a nation founded on biblical principles. But everything and anything that has to do with Bible, they're trying to smash it. They're trying to tear it down. They're trying to remove it out of culture. If culture is going to change, it's going to require the presence of the church. But how can a silent church speak to a raging culture? How do we expect the culture to change when you're afraid to live out loud? You don't want nobody to know you're saved. You're embarrassed of Jesus. You're embarrassed of your mama who's a minister. Oh, see, some of y'all don't even understand. For those of us who got children, the struggle is real. My kids says no. If you want to act funny right here, we're going to act funny right here. Because God is, I'm not going to get in trouble with God behind you. But you know what? When some of the kids, just like I did, misinterpret that love, there is somebody that craves it. There is somebody that wants somebody to tell them to stop that. There is somebody that wants them to say, you know what, you are dead wrong. And after I correct it, now come and love on me. There is somebody that craves that. If the culture is going to change, the church must rise up and be the church. But what you find in the church is you got a bunch of people who got one foot in the church and one foot in the world still. No, choose you this day. How long you gonna be halt between two opinions? No, choose you this day. Whom you gonna serve? Either you're going to serve Jesus Christ or you're gonna serve sin. Let sin have dominion over you. No, choose this day. And see, somebody don't understand the seriousness of what I'm saying. This day. I'm going to say it again. No, choose you this day. He said a holy nation, separate and apart. Come out from amongst the unclean thing. Don't find yourself being unequally yoked. No, there are certain people you just have to cut it off. You're going to have to cold turkey some of it. Oh, yes. No, they didn't do anything to you, but it's not right for you according to the will of God for your life. Cut it off. Yeah, you're going to have to just stop the conversation. Not just the phone calls, but the text messages, the DMs, the IMs, and whatever other M's you got. Cut it off. We're not talking about it. It is not the will of God. Cut it off. Because you're about to head into a soul tie. Oh, don't nobody want to hear that right there. Your soul is about to be knit and caught up. Oh, I know who I'm talking to. I'm just ain't going to say your name. Cut it off is what he cut it off. I don't care if they respect you. I'm glad they respect you. But you ought to have enough respect for God to do what God is saying. Cut it off. Somebody trying to figure out if they talking about me. Is he talking about me? Yes, I am. Cut it off. See, this is the thing. Either you can do it, or you can let God do it. See, I love you so much. All I want you to do is do what God called you to do and be who God called you to be. That I'm willing to pray this prayer. God, if they refuse to take heed to the word, God, you, however you got to cut them loose, God, cut them loose. However you got to do it. If you got to drag them. But do it, God, so your will can be accomplished. Do it, God, so they can learn to live out loud, God, not compromise your word, not compromise your will, God. See, I've been that way. I prayed to pray, God, break my will. Because I was too selfish to do it on my by myself. Too selfish to do it on my own. Too afraid to do it on my own. I didn't like how God did it. But he gave me the chance to do it myself. Too afraid to do it. So I said, God, do what I don't have the strength to do. God, do what I don't have the courage to do. Break my will, God. In the process, God, just keep me. Because I know I'm going to be mad many days at what you're doing. But just keep me, God. I know in the process, God, I'm not going to like you some days, but just keep me, God. I know in the process, God, I'm going to try to withhold my praise, but keep me, God. I know in the process, God, I'm going to disrespect some of your people, but keep me, God. And see, this is where the mercy of God was present, and this is where the grace of God was present. This is where the love of God was present, that God kept me on the days I didn't want to be kept, when I wanted to walk away from God. God kept me. Yeah, God, when I didn't want to be delivered, God delivered me. Yeah, when I didn't want God to hear my prayer, God heard me and God delivered me. Because see, the enemy will have you thinking you know what's best for yourself. What a deception. We told you the worst deception is self-deception. The enemy will trick you to make you think you know what's best for you. No, God knows what's best for you. Cut it. Cut it. Cut it. Cut it. Don't just delete the number out your phone. Delete it out your mind. Delete it out your memory bank. Because we will play that game. I deleted it out my phone, but you memorized. No, delete it out your memory bank. And if you get that real, if you got to change your number, change your number. See, it gets that real. Is that real? Counterfeit. Counterfeit. God trying to get you to discern this thing. You don't discern. This is a counterfeit. See, I'm not even that type of preacher. I don't even be saying stuff like that. Killer. Find your place in the hood. The priesthood. Live out loud. Don't compromise the will of God. Don't compromise the call of God on your life. Don't compromise the word that God has spoken over your life. The word that God has spoken about your life. Don't you compromise it. But find your place in the priesthood and release the significance that is in your voice. The influence, draw somebody closer to Jesus. The authority, let somebody know that he reigns, that he loves them. I pray
that this particular sermon series, Finding Your Place in the Hood, has been a blessing to you, that you have found your place in all of these different hoods, and that you are releasing the significance that is in your voice, because we need not just the significance that is in your voice, but we need you to be in place in all of these particular hoods. Amen.